Jesus is speaking to Peter and the others. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away, and I am going to, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Your holy word, and we ask you to speak through your word and use me in your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. In John 14, we have a description of the home of heaven.
home of God. And it's really has profound truths in it, but it takes it down to a level that we can understand. Of course, all of us have heard this at many, many a funeral about don't let your hearts be troubled. And he realizes that they're going to have to make an adjustment of his not being there. But as he goes on, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Sometimes when we see different words, how it's used is crucial. And the word believe in me is not a command. It's not like believe. It's sort of like a gracious invitation. Please, believe in me. It's an invitation to our Father's house. And what we have here is an invitation to his holy meal. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he goes on to say, my Father's house has many rooms and mansions, depending on the translation. And in this, what he's suggesting is the scope of our hope, of an endless love, of an eternal welcome, of a grace that can embrace all of us if we simply accept the invitation. And it truly is an invitation that continually comes to us, and God calls us. Then he says, and if it wasn't so, he told us that he's going to prepare a place for us. And it says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me. Now, I started to think about that. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That doesn't make sense to me. But this having me a remodel, does the infinite God need to prepare a place in a unique way for us? But when it says, I go to prepare a place for you, what follows? What follows after this event? Where does he go to prepare the place for us? He goes to Jerusalem. He goes before Pilate, and he's whipped and scourged. He's abused. He drags a cross, and he goes upon a cross, and he dies. He dies an innocent man for a guilty people. To prepare the place for us. We deserve not what we get. But God loves us and he prepares a place for us and is sacrificing himself for us. His preparation is he goes to die for us. But that's not all of it. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me. And part of the preparation is the sacrifice of a sinless person, of a righteous person. But the other part is not just that he died for us, but he arose for us in power. He comes back having conquered death. If you will, when he goes to say, I'll prepare a place for you, he is preparing the pathway to heaven, the pathway to the love of God so that each of us can receive it. We can go to God and say, what I did is unforgivable. And Jesus says, what I did is grander than your ability to forgive. Because because he becomes the way, he becomes the bridge to receive the grace of God. I will come back and take you to be with me. As I think about that in the context of what's there, let's go back as some of us that are just a wee bit older than some others. Do you remember taking your spouse to meet your parents? Or perhaps you remember your spouse taking you to meet his or her parents. No stress there. It's a pretty fearful event. But Jesus takes us home with him. He welcomes us into the home of his Father. It's a wonderful thing when you meet those parents, for example, or your spouse does, when they welcome you. There's also a tiny bit of fear that they won't. But Jesus has prepared the place and the way for us to receive the love of God. He takes us home with him. He welcomes us to the family table. And they said, Thomas says, well, I don't know where you're going. How can we find a way? And Jesus says, I am the way. In the presence of Jesus as our advocate, in the presence of his grace and love, we are received, we are forgiven, we are cleansed, we are welcomed into the presence of God. As I was reading in different times through this, I couldn't help but read some of the great saints of God. But Aquinas and Augustine said, walk by the man Jesus, and thou wilt arrive at God. Walk by Jesus, and you will arrive with God. Jesus is not only which way, not only he who leads the way, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. But ironically, when he uses in the truth, in Hebrew, the truth, the word for truth, often just said, it just meant God, because God was the only truth that you could follow that would work. I was reading that. It's a wonderful fellow named Alessio Newbegin, who has written some powerful stuff. And he writes, it is not that Jesus teaches the way or guides us in the way. If that were so, we could thank him for his teaching and then proceed to follow it on our own. Jesus himself is the way to follow this way. In fact, he is the only way to the Father. And I just was reading about on the way, the truth, and the life. And how many of you have ever read Imitation of Christ, Thomas Kempis? It's a really cool book. He writes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way you should follow, the truth you should believe, the life that you should hope for. I am the inviolate way, the infallible truth, the indestructible life. I am the straightest way, the sovereign truth, the authentic life, blessed and eternal. And we're all just trying to say that if we draw near to God, it takes care, it makes up the difference. Seek him, and he will find you. information about God, but hold on to Christ. He's the only God with God. And it's that example as we follow what happens. It goes on then in John to say, no one comes to the Father except through me, which is classic Reformed theology from Jesus and his followers through Luther and Calvin and Wesley and all the great theologians that realize that it's a summary that only through Christ do we come to him. Anything else in the context of Reformed theology is really fantasy theology. The Lord shows us the Father that will be enough for us, Philip said. I love Philip. Remember Philip? He's the one who he just broke everything down. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. And he said, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And then Jesus is trying to explain to him that we got it in me. And he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Show us the Father. And Jesus goes on a little bit further and says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Then he says, ask whatever you want in my name, that the Father may be glorified. And again, it's that joining together of the family of God. The Father who wants us to come home, who wants us to receive forgiveness, who wants us to walk in his ways, but isn't just God. As Jesus, who makes the sacrifice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. That gave us word in John 3:16. And the Father is lived out in the Son. And he says, I give you this promise so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Luther says, what does it mean that the Father is to be glorified in the Son? Nothing else than this. That the Father is to be known and acknowledged as a merciful and compassionate Father, who is not angry with us and does not want to condemn us to hell, but forgives our sins and grants us all his grace for his Son's sake has been adequately said before. The true honor in which God is glorified through the Son is when we realize the love of the Son is also the love of the Father. So, as I said about bringing home, the spouse, that when you go visit the family, if you know that the parents love you, particularly if you're old-fashioned, ask for somebody's hand. If you know the parents appreciate you, it's a much easier visit. And if you don't know them, it's a much tougher visit. That's another story. Then he goes on to say, when you love me, you will keep these commands. He's just calling us to live in his love, and the commands are just actually follow because we loved. He says, and I will ask the Father. And what we got set up is the Son is a representative of the Father to us. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Another advocate. A second. That word advocate there is the trusted one, the paraclete. He is giving us another one, but this time it is the Spirit of God, which represents the Son of God, that they sort of flow into each other, each of them seeking to be the way and to receive us and to go with us. I will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now, notice the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. Now, when it says with you, once again, if you're looking at the Greek, it would be better for the Southern, because he lives with you all. Now, I don't do that appropriately Southern, but as long as you get the point that it's you all. It is the body of Christ we are called to receive the love of the Father and the Son and to live it out, you all. For it lives in the body of Christ. And he is making his home right beside you and will be in you. Then it shifts to just the singular you. So what he's saying is the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the presence of the Spirit will be with you all and inside each of you. Now, just to give you an example, I remember going to visit Ann's folks and ask for Ann in marriage, also to introduce myself. To go one step further is when I went to ask their permission to announce that I was moving in with them. No, I didn't do that. I didn't even imagine that, although they were wonderful, gracious people. So the Spirit, at first, it comes to take you home with God, Jesus says, and then the Spirit moves in with you, so that while we're away from the home, we are filled with the presence of God, and it says, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. It's sort of like locked in. All these I've spoken, but the Advocate, the Encourager, the Paraclete, the true friend, the one you can trust, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. But he comes, jumping to the end, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded. You see, Jesus comes to show his love to the Father, and his love and the Father's love for us. And his Spirit comes to dwell within us with the love of the Father and the love of the Son. That's why he says, believe in me. In believing in God, we receive his love. We receive the fullness of his love for us. And so, we'll shortly invite you to come see the love of our Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter whether you're a member here. It does matter whether or not you wish to receive the love of God. And somewhere deep within, believe that God loves you. I invite you, as the liturgy says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. The Lamb said, come. Thank you. sat at the table and his apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I'll tell you, I shall not eat until it